At Sternberger Elementary School in Greensboro, this cafeteria is now a classroom. Chief Academic Officer Whitney Oakley shows how they made space for social distancing and desks.
These would be way too close together
for kids to sit and eat lunch together in a cafeteria.
No carpet or fabric chairs are in this classroom, decorations are minimal, and no books or other shared supplies can be found. This is what it would look like under Governor Cooper's Plan B, a mix of in-person classes and remote learning. But this large urban district has scrapped that method for now. Instead, students will begin the first 9 weeks remotely.
No district in this country has the answers to this. It's just all too new, and we don't know where this virus is going. We don't even know if school is opening.
That's Superintendent Sharon Contreras. She says the district would need an estimated $100 million to fully reopen buildings. School leaders say they also worry about fluctuations in enrollment that could impact how much money the state allots to their district. More students equals more in their budget. What if headcounts shrink or enrollment surges when they do re-enter buildings? That's why local districts are pushing for the state legislature to hold school districts harmless. In other words, not penalizing them financially for enrollment changes.
Districts and schools could experience cuts in staff allotments and other funding tied to student enrollment if hold harmless provisions aren't made.
The state has sent PPE starter packs, providing a 2-month supply for nurses and staff to conduct health screenings. That includes thermometers, face masks, and gowns. There's been federal CARES Act money to help North Carolina during the pandemic. As of late July, more than $726 million has been allocated for K-12 public schools. But not all of it trickles directly down to districts. It's a complicated process. Several pots of money distributed to different departments. That can dictate how and when it's spent. Representative Jeffrey Elmore is a Republican who co-chairs the House Education Committee. He says there are so many unknowns that it's hard to plan what the cost will be.
We have to be very specific on seeing how the systems are handling it and what the needs are. And you just basically have to see that after they approach it with their plan and see where the shortcomings are.
Money issues are further compounded by how schools are funded in North Carolina. A landmark case known as Leandro found the state's model unconstitutional because it fails to ensure that every student receives a sound education. Shay Woodbury with the Winston-Salem Forsyth County School Board worries about the 7,000 students who didn't participate regularly in virtual learning last spring. Her district created teams on the ground to help reach these kids, something that also wasn't in their budget.
You have the issue of equity, that the children that depend on public school for more than just academics, but for, you know, a very familiar and safe environment that is dependable, those kids don't have that anymore.
Smaller rural school districts are also scrambling. Watauga County School Superintendent Scott Elliott says one of the biggest obstacles is broadband access. It's all going to come with a hefty price tag.
You don't have to get too far out of town to find yourself in a place with no cell phone service and no high-speed internet. And in a recent survey of our families, about 25% of them did not have access to high-speed internet in their homes because they couldn't afford it, or in many cases because it simply doesn't exist.
Todd Warren with the Guilford County Association of Educators is worried about the long term. He says many public schools are still lacking basic infrastructure needs like ventilation or enough classroom space.
We had educators retiring and not bringing in enough new educators. And right now we're watching a lot of educators deciding to take an early retirement rather than face the prospect of being, you know, close to 60 years old and going into a building that's not adequately resourced to keep them safe from a deadly disease.
Districts say if the pandemic drags on, they'll need a bailout, as demands for more technology grow both inside and outside of the classroom. All they can do right now is to try their best to meet the needs of students, work with public health officials to monitor case trends, and prepare for a school year like no other. For WFDD, I'm Carrie Brown in Winston-Salem.